Okay, this is going to be an episode with Ratatouille from Trailside Radio. Pretty excited about getting him on the show here, so please listen up. And don't forget to listen to the Trailside Radio. It's a great podcast, and I can't believe he came on my show. Do you have any kids from ages, 4 to 12? Well, my daughter has a podcast, the Kids Cascade Hiker Podcast. So check that out. It's on iTunes and all the major podcast carriers. So listen to her talk about safety on the trail for kids. This is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. You're going to find out all the aspects of hiking in our beautiful Pacific Northwest woods.
I'm a country boy with a soft side. My heart wanders up north to the hillside. And I've never met anyone quite as beautiful as you.
Check us out over CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's right, CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's where you're going to find all the show notes and links right there.
Enigmatic like that of the cosmos. Never held your hand.
I want to thank Whiskey Fever for letting me use that awesome track there. That was Tall Grass off their album Gonna Wake Up This Whole Town. Find them at ReverbNation.com/Whiskey Fever. They're from Cedro Woolley. Go check them out. I'm your host, Rudy Getzik. I put this podcast together to inspire you to get out on the trail. Are you putting in 2-mile hikes, 5-mile hikes? You sitting on the couch? Have you even gone on a backpacking trip yet? I'm going to introduce you to some folks that have done that and a whole lot more. So without further ado, here is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. Next on the Cascade Hiker Podcast, what's your name and where are you from?
My name is Ratatouille. I'm originally from Minnesota, but I've been living in Portland, Oregon for almost 20 years.
Nice. So obviously, you're kind of famous to me. I've been listening to your podcast all last year. And so what's the name of your podcast for everybody?
Trailside Radio.
And you hiked the Pacific Crest Trail last year?
Well, I attempted to through hike it. I did about 2/3 of the trail last year. I got injured early on. I also got off to a slow start, and I'm not a fast hiker to begin with. So by the time the season was over, I'd only done about 1,750 miles. Only.
That's good. Man, I tell you, I love listening to your show.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I know I kind of went into radio silence after the hike last year, but yeah, I've been busy getting ready to make my second attempt this year. So I'm trying to go back out there in a week or two and make a second go of it.
Nice. Are you going to be there for, well, I guess there's not really technically a kickoff this year, is there?
No, there is no kickoff. There's, my permit is set to start a little bit before then anyway, or when the, set to start before the kickoff would normally be held the last weekend of April.
Oh, okay. Well, I got a buddy that started last week and he said he's hiking in 109 degrees already. What do you think about that?
Oh my gosh. I was just thinking about that today. I just got back from the grocery store here in Portland and I don't know how hot it actually is. It's got to be up in the 90s, but for the weather I've been used to all winter here in the Northwest, it reminded me how much of a shock it's going to be getting down to Southern California here in a little bit.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I'm definitely going to be taking it slow to start off.
Nice. So have you already started recording some episodes for this this upcoming hike then?
You know, I've been completely slacking with the Trailside Radio. I've even still got some material from the end of last year that I haven't put out there. It honestly all got put on hold shortly after I got back into Portland. I ended up taking on the responsibility of editing the 2015 PCT class video, which is a tradition that's been going on for about 12 years. I know you're probably familiar with it, and some listeners may be, but every year a number of hikers who hike on the trail send all of their best photos and videos to one person who puts them together into one sort of glorified community slideshow slash movie. And so this winter, that person has been me. And it's just been a lot of work. It's been a lot of fun, and I've been really excited to do it. But I sort of had to put the podcast on the back burner in order to have enough time to do that and try to prep for another through hike attempt.
Oh, for sure. Well, what got you into hiking?
you know, I've been into the outdoors, I guess, ever since I was a kid. Growing up in Minnesota, my mom used to take my brother and myself up to the Boundary Waters canoe area in northern Minnesota, and we'd go on, you know, canoe trips for a week or two at a time. And when I moved out to the Northwest, when I was 19 years old, I wanted to find ways to go out and continue to have wilderness adventures. But, you know, going on 2-week canoe trips isn't as common of an activity out here. So I realized that backpacking was the way to have a similar adventure out here on the West Coast. And so I got my hands on a backpack and threw some stuff together and went out and just started doing it on short trips. And it definitely took me a while to understand the challenge of putting together everything you need in the wilderness to be carried on your back at once. It's a lot easier when you're traveling with a canoe and you can have multiple packs per person.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I've never experienced that. Well, you know, real quick, I didn't really cover this, but for those that haven't heard the show, and everybody should check it out, it's way better than mine. But explain Ratatouille, like your name.
Sure. Yeah, I picked up the trail name Ratatouille when I was doing a section hike in 2014 on the PCT in Washington, and some thru-hikers watched me preparing my lunch, and I had all of these different ingredients that I had pre-cooked at home and dehydrated all separately so I could mix and match from all these different vegetables and spices and so on. And they decided they needed to give me a trail name, and it had to have something to do with food. And after some further conversation, that got combined with my love of rats. I've had pet rats in the past and hope to again in the future if I've ever settled down for more than a few months at a time. And so it became Ratatouille as a reference to the animated film Ratatouille about a rat that is a chef. And it takes that name from a French dish, a sort of a casserole of sorts.
That's cool, man. I like that. I like the whole concept of the trail names too. So, I imagine you know, in hearing your podcast, there was quite a few trail names you came across. Can you give me like one or two of your favorites from last year?
Oh, one or two of my favorites from last year. I mean, honestly, one of my favorites is my buddy Nude Dude, because it really sums it up right there. Like, even if you didn't learn his name when you met him, there was a good chance that he was wearing less clothing than everybody else. And so when you say Nude Dude, people tend to know who you're talking about. Sometimes I just get a kick, I guess, out of the really unflattering ones. You know, no one wants to get stuck with a trail name like Wet Patch. but it happens anyway. I think I like there was a guy named Deep South. It was just one of my favorite names, because to most Americans it has one connotation, but for him it was because he's from New Zealand, from the South Island of New Zealand, not just from New Zealand. And any sort of name that's got a story to it, that's has something to do with the person or their character, or their, you know, a good trail name should be memorable. That should, I think, is the number one responsibility of a trail name, is to be something that can be remembered.
And you'll never forget Nude Dude. I kind of like to dig into a little bit, especially since you've done a lot more backpacking than most people I've had on the show. What do you normally carry for backpacking? As far as I know, that you're a hammock guy, right?
I am a big hammock lover. You know, I bought my first camping hammock over a decade ago, was using it for a few years just on the kinds of short hikes that I do. I have been doing, you know, short backpacking trips for about 18 years now, but I've only really gotten into long distance hiking, as in, you know, trips of 300 miles or more in the last couple of years. So I'm kind of new to that. But hammocks have become a thing in my life. I got rid of my bed 5 years ago. I sleep in a hammock even when I'm in my bedroom in the city. So it would take a lot to separate me from my hammock. So I do use a hammock out there. You know, with the right setup, you can really go almost as lightweight as a tent with a hammock, with a good hammock setup. You know, on the PCT, there's a lot of people have an idea that it's not a good trail for using a hammock. I think it's perfectly suited for a hammock. You know, in the first, I should say the southernmost 700 miles, there are definitely a lot of places where it's easier if you're flexible and willing to set up on the ground. Otherwise, you can find yourself hiking quite a ways to find a place to hang in places in the desert. But I know last year in those southernmost 700 miles, I still was able to hang about half the time. So I'm still going to bring my hammock with me this year for that stretch. I'll have a sleeping pad as well for that stretch for the times that I do sleep on the ground. And I'll ditch the pad when I get up to the Sierra and just hammock the rest of the way from there. I'm still dialing in my gear, to be honest with you. I've got a lot of equipment that I fell in love with over the years that I use. And when you go for a long distance hike, when you're trying to hike, you know, hundreds of miles or thousands of miles, what might have worked for that 40 or 50 mile trip is suddenly seems a lot heavier and might not work well. So honestly, you know, I'm still yeah. learning where to make those cuts for my pack weight, learning which comforts I'm willing to give up. You know, my base weight last year was somewhere around 25 pounds, and I'm almost got that down to about 15 pounds for this year. So I think I'm hoping that'll have a make a big difference in my through hike attempt.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. That's a big difference. I mean, I you know, I've heard of people having a 15 or even lower, and I've heard of people having 25, but to be able to cut that much over the year, you must put a lot of thought into that.
Oh, sure. And a lot of it too was, to the 25 was unnecessary. I knew at the time that there was things that I didn't necessarily need to carry. I really like hiking in, five fingers sometimes, the toe shoes. And so I would carry those in addition to a pair of trail runners. And I would use them. I would switch back and forth. So it wasn't necessarily wasted weight, but, you know, it's an example of a place that I'm just making that sacrifice this year. There might be times when I wish I had my toe shoes, but I'm going to settle for the trail runners the whole way because it was a easy, quick way to shave a few more ounces off my pack.
Nice. Yeah, that's an easy one. What about stove? One last question on that. What do you use for a stove out there?
Oh, gosh, I've been using the same MSR pocket rocket for, you know, 18 years now. Yeah, I'm actually leaning towards sending it to Kennedy Meadows and going no cook for the first 700 miles. Partly just because no cook hiking is something I've never done before.
Okay.
And so I think it'd just be a neat, interesting experiment to challenge myself to try some new things in order to get to that variety. And then when I get my stove sent to me, I should probably really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or maybe I'll have fallen in love with no cook and I'll call back home and say, hey, you don't need to send me that stove after all.
Yes. And who is at home helping you out?
This year it's going to be, my parents actually sending out my, resupply packages. I mean, they were very helpful and supportive in my hike last year, although I had another friend of mine, my buddy Tom doing my resupply packages for me. But yeah, this year it's going to be my mom and my dad sending those out.
Nice. Yeah, I still use my parents a lot, even just in little short section hikes. So.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And hopefully when I come through Oregon, my parents also live in Portland and have for a number of years. You know, hopefully I'll get to see them on the trail. I'll get them to come out to Mount Hood. You know, my mom's a enthusiastic outdoors person, so I know that she'll be anxious to come out and visit me if she has the time.
Nice. Well, and speaking of that, I plan on being down at the PCT days, so maybe we'll finally run into each other down there.
Oh, totally. We'll see. We'll see if I make it this year. I would really love to go if I'm anywhere that I'll be able to, you know, hitch conveniently. But my priority this year is to really hike border to border. So if it gets down to the wire and I'm concerned about making my miles and getting to the border before the snow hits, then I'm going to be, everything else is gonna jump down in priority, and I'm going to be focused on reaching Canada this year.
That's good. I like to hear that. Yeah. Let's see, not to get too involved, but something interesting, you know, with outdoor gear, as far as outerwear, it's kind of funny. You know, a lot of people buy these button-up shirts or just some type of a shirt that's whatever, but tell us what you like to wear on the trail that's non-cotton.
Well, gosh, I guess I'm a maybe a little bit known for last year, I wore a Trailblazers jersey on the trail. I'm not going to be doing that this year. I haven't actually settled on a shirt. I tend to just wear, synthetic athletic wear. This stuff, I tend to go for stuff that's made for basketball, necessarily, maybe more than hiking, even if it's not an actual jersey. But last year I tried to hike the entire trail in my favorite player's jersey, and by the time I got to the hostel at Bishop, he had signed with another team. So I learned about the learned the hard way what making that kind of commitment meant.
Yeah. Well, did you end up wearing it the rest of the trail and just wear it out and get rid of it afterwards then?
I did. Oh, and of course I didn't get rid of it. I still have it, even though the number and the name have all peeled off the back, because I invested in the what they call the swingman jersey, where the decals are stitched on rather than painted on. But it's something I'll probably never be able to get rid of because the miles I put in on that thing. But I don't wear it to games now.
Yeah.
Hire it on my wall, that's for sure.
That's great, man. So what do you use for photography on the trail? Do you just use a phone or do you have a camera?
Yeah, I just use a phone. I do have an interest more in videography than photography. And I dabbled a few years ago into taking some video equipment that I've got out into the area around here, go to Mount Hood and the Columbia Gorge and the places that I really love to go frequent with my shorter adventures. And I'd carry a lot of weight out there, tripod, a couple of heavy video cameras and so on. And I wasn't looking to make miles. I was looking to capture, certain things on video. So it was a fun project to do. But on the trail, especially because I'm focused on the podcasting, and that's really my art form that I throw myself into when I'm out there. I'm out there to capture audio. So getting a few pictures here and there with my cell phone is great, because that I can use that for, putting pictures to go with the podcast episodes and so forth, and having something to throw up on Instagram or social media for friends back home. But I don't get too serious into that.
Okay, cool. What about a scary moment on the trail? Do you have a something you can think of, or maybe you heard somebody else tell a story?
Scary moment on the trail. My personal scariest moment was being startled by a Mojave green rattlesnake down in the Mojave, just north of Kelso Road. And I was so startled. It was kind of hidden behind a bush. And so I was less than 2 feet away from it when I saw it, and it started rattling. It started rattling, and it was coiled up. And I basically tripped over my own feet trying to get away from it, and I fell into a cactus, and was still within striking distance of the snake as I crawled away. And turned out down the road that I'd actually sprained my ankle that morning, which was what forced me to take some time off the trail in the end. But so that was a my most harrowing experience on the trail, but I'd have to say I'm aware of a number of ones, but what for me was maybe the moment I was most closely attached to was my buddy Gandalf, really early on in the trail, someone I'd met almost right away on the trail, a really nice guy, and he had issues with dehydration. He missed the trail junction to get to a water source that everyone was depending on. And he'd been trying to, do everything right that he was supposed to do and keep himself hydrated and have electrolytes. But, it turns out that he, if I understand right, he had a bit of a health issue that caused his body to not be able to process salt properly or something along those lines. At any rate, he ended up being helicoptered out of there and had to be evacuated when he was finally found. And the scariest part, I guess, for me was the notion that I'd seen him. I walked past him as he was laying next to the trail shortly before he got evacuated out of there. And I saw him on the trail and I looked down and I kind of waved at him, and he sort of looked up at me through half open eyes. And it looked to me like he just found a really nice, comfortable place to relax next to the trail. He had his umbrella kind of situated so he'd have a little bit of shade, and it looked like he was just there for taking a little siesta. And so it looked like he made eye contact with me. So I figured he was just doing all right, and I kept hiking. And, I learned later that he was basically at that point didn't have enough strength to really speak, and that less than an hour after that, he was being helicoptered out of there. And it made me reevaluate, you know, what my responsibility is to my fellow hiker when I see themselves in that situation. You don't necessarily want to be the person who goes interrupting everybody's nap just because you're paranoid. But you also, you know, we have to look out for each other out there when the conditions are as extreme as they are. And, you know, I'm not shy now if I see someone, you know, napping somewhere. If I think there might be a reason to be worried, I'll wake. I'd rather be safe than sorry, and I'd rather wake them up and just get them to confirm that they're okay before I keep going.
Yeah, that's serious, man. What did you ever reconnect with him?
Oh, yeah, I did. He actually ended up being on my podcast after that. He got back on trail a few days later, and we all his trail name was changed from Gandalf to Gandalf the White. He'd been taken away from us, and we had thought him dead, or, you know, not literally, but sort of metaphorically on the trail, you know, trail speaking. And, yeah, so when he reappeared on the trail, he'd been upgraded to Gandalf the White. I hiked with him for a while after that. On and off, I would see him on the trail. He ended up having an injury on San Jacinto that canceled his hike for the year. But last I talked to him, he has plans to try to get back out there and do it again.
Oh, that's great. Well, yeah, I remember that now that you mention it. I remember that episode, or, you know, and the following ones where he came back as Gandalf the White. That's great. What about a funny moment? I know you laughed all the time in your episodes. You had a great time hanging out. Can you think of a funny moment, or should we just listen to your show to get that?
Well, oh, we should definitely listen to the show. But, gosh, I mean, I don't know. There isn't necessarily a single moment that leaps out at me, other than maybe just the weirdness of the time. You know, I mentioned that I carried the five fingers because I like to hike in them sometimes. There was the one night shortly after Belden, north of Belden, and I had was camping on my own a little ways away from a stream. I had left the shoes sitting next to the stream because they were wet. And the next morning I got woken up by another hiker who, you know, woke me up in my hammock, said, "Hey, is this your shoe?" And he holds up what looks like one of my five fingers. It's this same style and everything. And I'm like, yeah, that's mine. And he's like, "Oh, great." And he tosses it on the ground and walks away. And I'm laying in my hammock thinking, but why did he only have one? He said, it was by the stream here. I found it. Here it is. I started panicking, like, oh, no, what happened to the other one? What happened to the other one? I jumped out of my hammock, and I ran over to the stream, and there next to the stream were both of my shoes. And I carried them back over to the hammock and held them up to the other one. It was the same style of shoe. It was the same size. It was as if my two shoes I had left out had a third, a child overnight. I did not know what to make of that. That was definitely one of just the more, if not funny, outright funny, just one of the more surreal, odd moments I had on the entire trail.
Oh, man.
I did eventually find out who had lost it and managed to send it to them.
Wow, that's funny. All right, so I got some quick questions here to finish up. Did you have anything you wanted to say before we get into that?
If there's something I was going to plug, it would just be, you know, the class video, the 2015 PCD class video. I'm really, really excited about that. I don't have an official ETA on that, but it will be made available free online in the relatively near future. I'm just putting the finishing touches on it right now. Over 200 different hikers who were on the trail last year, who were on the Pacific Crest Trail, sent in photos and video clips. I got over 13,000 total images sent to me, and I'm really proud of what, you know, how it's all come together, and just being a part of sharing so many people's stories kind of wrapped into one video is pretty exciting. And I'm hoping that everyone's going to enjoy that.
Oh, for sure, man. And as soon as I get the information on that, I'll put it in the show notes.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It should be. And anyone who can, you know, if you Google PCT class video, you can easily go even now and watch all of the ones from previous years. It's a really neat way to just sort of see how both the trail has changed and how the hiking community has and culture has changed a little bit over the years as well.
Yeah, those are fun to watch. It's the time of the podcast that we ask our guests some questions. They don't know these questions. They've never heard them before. So let's see what they have to answer. But first, let's talk about Cascade Hiker hats and bumper stickers. Go to CascadeHikerPodcast.com. Check out the hats and bumper stickers. Support the podcast. You can also donate. There's a donate button on each of our show notes. Go there, find pictures of our guests. Now enjoy the rest of the show. What piece of gear do you consider not replaceable? Maybe it's something that people think you're kind of weird for carrying.
I mean, I guess the obvious one as far as that goes for me is probably the hammock, as far as the least conventional thing that I have trouble going without.
Did you have a ukulele on the trail last year too, right?
I did. I didn't start with the ukulele. That was given to me. It was found in a hiker box and got passed around a little bit. And once I had it, I refused to let go of it. I'm not going to take it with me this year, at least at the beginning. If I'm missing it, I'll have it mailed out to me. But that's been one of the casualties of my efforts to lighten my pack load. But yeah, I think I'm going to be trying to go without the ukulele this time.
Okay, well, my second question is always, do you ever take alcohol hiking and or marijuana, of course?
Sure. I think only a couple of occasions did I personally carry any alcohol last year. I have often taken whiskey out on a short hike. I tend to be more of a beer drinker if I'm in the city, but whiskey, particularly Irish whiskey, is my favorite way to go on the trail. It's just more lightweight. But I didn't really carry much on the trail. And marijuana is something, I used to be a professional reggae musician, so I'm not going to pretend that marijuana hasn't been a part of my life over the years. And normally on my short hikes, I've always carried it. Last year, I made the decision to not bring marijuana. I certainly enjoyed it on a pretty regular basis along the trail because it's around quite a bit. A lot of hikers smoke or otherwise indulge in THC. And it was just a commonly a social thing that was around, and I would indulge in when it was available. Occasionally, someone would give me a little piece to carry on my own. I think it's important for people to remember on the trail that even though marijuana is becoming much more legal, at least out here on the West Coast, Oregon and Washington both have legal recreational marijuana, and California is legal for medicinal purposes. It's still illegal on federal lands, and a trail like the Pacific Crest Trail crosses a lot of areas where, there are still laws against it that can be enforced, and there are people there, the rangers and other law enforcement, officials who can and will sometimes enforce those laws. That doesn't mean that I'm not trying to say people shouldn't carry or use marijuana on a hiking through those areas if they really want to, but you have to be very conscientious about it. You have to be discreet and be careful and be aware of the risks that you're taking. Because we're sharing the trail with a lot of people, and and it also just comes down to the law. A lot of that is federal land.
Yeah, I like that, man. And I've actually heard some pretty good stories up here in the North Cascades National Park and Rainier National Park that they don't tread lightly on that. So yeah, you got to watch out sometimes.
Yeah, and I think for the most part, if a person is careful and discreet, then you're both reducing your own risk of getting in trouble, but you're also reducing the extent to which you're impacting other people's experience. There's not a lot of families or children out through hiking, but there's, in a lot of places that we hike, you never know when you're going to come around the corner and there's a family out hiking, and it's just good to be aware of that and exercise discretion.
But when you were in town, though, you had some great episodes. I remember just offhand the the hostel. What was it? THC.
The hostel in California.
Yeah, the hostel California in Bishop. That episode's awesome. Anyway, so it's fun to do it when it's you're in a setting that's maybe okay.
Oh sure. And I think and in my opinion, there can be a time and a place for that in the wilderness as well. It's about being responsible. It's about moderation. I mean, all of those things that I would hope are somewhat common sense, and obviously they aren't always, which is, you know, why it is somewhat of a controversial subject. There's, you know, there's plenty of people out there who want to go out and hike a short distance or a long distance on a trail like the Pacific Crest Trail and have as much of a wilderness experience as possible. And that is a obviously a very understandable and respectable thing. And then there's also people who want to go out and want to cut loose a little bit. And I do think in the end that there's room for everybody to be out there doing their thing, as long as people exercise, you know, follow the golden rule and just sort of check how our behavior is affecting others. You know, that there's room for more than one style of hiking out there. And I think there's room in our hiking community for more than one different approach to long distance hiking and how we enjoy that.
Yeah, that's good. Do you filter all of your water on the trail?
I don't filter. I use Aquamira, but I do use Aquamira, and I do use it all of the time. I've hiked with people who have Giardia. I've been on section hikes in Washington and watched through hikers leaving the trail right, you know, with little time left in the season because they have Giardia or similar illnesses because they weren't filtering or they weren't filtering well. So I personally would never take the risk of trusting the water. Even when you can see where it's melting off the glacier and cascading down nice and clear right into your smart water bottle, there's still at least somewhat of a risk. There's never a guarantee that water can't make you sick. Now, at the same time, I understand that there's people out there who don't filter and don't treat their water, and it's a manageable risk. I'm not aware of people dying from Giardia on the Pacific Crest Trail, but it's really, really unpleasant. So it's up to each individual if they really want to take that risk or not. For me, I don't take that risk. I put in a few drops of Aquamira, I wait a few minutes, and then I enjoy my water.
Good. Do you carry bear spray or a firearm?
No and no. And I would... everyone should hike your own hike within the laws, at least. But I would actively discourage people from carrying either of those. My understanding is bear spray, at least, is illegal in certain national parks that the Pacific Crest Trail passes through. I am totally unclear as to the laws of, I believe most of those national parks do allow at least certain types of firearms to be carried, not necessarily to be used, but I really don't, I haven't looked into that. I don't know what the laws are. But they're just ultimately both completely unnecessary. The trail is a pretty safe place. Animals are not really a safety concern out there. In theory, people are the most likely safety concern. And that could be an issue, but it's honestly, you know, where the risk of that is so much greater in the city. And so if you don't feel like you need to carry a pistol walking to the grocery store, then, you know, and you don't need to carry one on the trail.
Yeah. What about trekking poles?
Oh, every time. When I was younger, when I was in my early 20s, I didn't like poles. I never really tried them. I thought they seemed silly until I had a couple experiences where I had to, you know, leave the trail on some short hikes because my knees hurt so excruciatingly bad. And I tried poles and never had that happen to me ever since. And I'll never go back. Always poles every time.
Yep. Okay. Do you have any hiking books that maybe you've read you want to refer to people? You know, one book that I haven't really talked about, sometimes I'll throw some of my own in, is I Hike. Lawton Grinter, I think, wrote that?
Oh, okay. Disco.
Of the trail show, which I've really never talked about on the podcast at all. So, another great podcast, Trail Show. So, anyway, yeah, that's a good book. Have you read anything like that before, or do you do much reading?
The reading I do, I read like science fiction, and I read history that isn't related to the trail. But, of the few hiking books I've read, I have to say, and maybe I'm a little biased because the author has been a guest on my podcast, but I really do like Hiker Trash, Life on the Pacific Crest Trail by Aaron Miller. I think are really great. It's, you know, essentially a travelogue of the Pacific Crest Trail from an almost through hike in 2013. Her and her husband hiked all the way up into Washington and were one of many people who got knocked off trail by the early snows up in Washington. But it's just a pretty nice, a great example of what a through hike is like on the Pacific Crest Trail. She really did a great job of just sort of portraying the atmosphere of the modern through hiking community out there on the trail.
Yeah, that's a good book and a great episode on your podcast too. I like that one a lot.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was a lot of fun to go down to Bend last year and record those interviews.
Cool. Last question. Do you listen to any hiking podcasts?
I definitely do. Not when I'm out on the trail. There's this really great new one, North Cascade Hiker. I don't know if you've heard of this one. I've been enjoying listening to that one. I do really like Sounds of the Trail is one that sort of cropped up around the same time as mine last year. And with a similar sort of idea that I think our two podcasts, we're not the first podcast to ever do actual recording from the trail, but I think we were the first two to actually make that the bulk of the podcast. So that was the way we did almost all of our content.
And you guys actually met up on the trail, right? I remember that episode where you were talking to one of the guys that was on the PCT, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty fun when I bumped into Part 3 and at a moment we were introducing each other and I said something about doing a podcast on the trail. He said, what? You do a podcast? I know. I do a podcast on the trail. No, I do. Yeah. There was sort of an instant camaraderie when you think you're the only person out there doing a thing and you find out you're not. But no, I really love what they're doing. I mean, there's a little different style to their podcast from mine. And I really, really, really love the way that Sounds of the Trail does what they do. I mean, I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention The Trail Show and also Pox and Puss podcast. Both of those podcasts have been around, you know, a lot longer than in any of our ours. And those folks, I mean, you mentioned something about me having a certain amount of hiking experience, and I guess I'm getting there, but I have nowhere near the experience of you know, the hosts of those shows who've been doing long distance hiking for so many years and are triple crowners, and also to have so their podcasting experience shows like their level of I mean they're real entertainers.
They are.
I don't know that I could ever get anyone to listen through a 2-hour episode of Trailside Radio, but somehow the magic of the Trail Show is such that you know, you can 2 hours can go by before you realize that you've been listening to an episode for that long.
That's good, man. Yeah, I've listened to all those. I don't know if you've listened to too much of Into Backpacking.
I haven't a lot. Seems to be more of a gear focus on that show.
Yeah, I'm kind of that way too on my show.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be down on that. It's just not as much my cup of tea.
Yeah, it's different. I think his name is Bird Shooter on there. Yeah, he's pretty fun to listen to. But I'm kind of the same way with the what was the other one you mentioned, the from the trail?
Sounds of the Trail.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I for some reason, I heard your episode, I loved it, and I never went and checked theirs out, so I need to go do that. But I did forget to ask you one last question, and then we're done. If you could choose one person to hike with, live or not, famous or not, who would you choose and why?
Oh, gosh, wow. Wow, that's a good one. I might have to get back to you on that one. That's a good one. Let's see. You know, I mean, I'm reggae music has been a big part of my life, so I've got some obvious choices of some artists that I no longer have the chance to meet in real life that I could give you for that one. But as far as hiking, you know, I got nothing for you. The next time I'm on your show, somewhere down the road, I'll have a brilliant answer for that question.
That's good, man. Well, I would like to talk to you after the hike sometime, later on, after the summer's over. But, well, cool, man. Well, hey, thanks for coming on the Cascade Hiker podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's fun to be the guest for a change. It's a nice role reversal.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to the show. Go on back to CascadeHikerPodcast.com. and you know, leave me a comment. Tell me what you thought. That's how I know everything's going good, or maybe some things are going bad. But maybe you have some ideas there. And if you have some more questions for any of our guests, leave a comment under their episode, and maybe we can get them back on and answer some quick questions there. You can send me an email if you don't want to leave a comment. It's ibighiker@gmail, ibighiker@gmail. Give my Facebook page a like, North Cascade Hiker. Follow me on Twitter, @N_CascadeCapitalHiking. That's @N_CascadeHiking. I try to give you guys multiple ways to get a hold of me. Give me some comments on the show and maybe some ideas for some guests. Thanks again for listening to the show. Here's a little bit more of that Whiskey Fever track, Tall Grass.
You were sweet like honey on a heartbeat. You were fine like wine in the sunshine. I could feel you coming on strong. Could never be wrong, could never be wrong. See her laying down in the tall grass, playing mandolin.